toddlers can often be an exercise of frustration. They're in that stage where they want to be independent, they want to do things for themselves, but they haven't yet quite mastered the ability to do so. Their language is still developing, so you can't really talk to them or reason with them. They are curious about everything, and if left alone for any amount of time, can cause irreparable damage. So, what do we do with these little bundles of energy and joy? In today's podcast, Kristen Schaefer shares how music can help direct and teach our little ones in a very effective and natural way. Music is an easy, engaging tool that we can use to focus these exuberant energies into a productive learning experience. Join us as Kristen shares a few tips and tricks that might work in your home.
Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast, where our mission is to help you, the intentional parent, to teach your children in such a way that they can personally experience the power of Jesus Christ while still at home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the My Teaching Matters podcast. This is Leslie Johnson. I am your host today, and I am with a very special guest, Kristen Schaefer. Kristen, say hi to our guests.
Hi, everyone.
And take a second to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing right now.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, Leslie. I love your podcast. Because we are just hearing each other, I'd like to paint a picture of what I look like because I would love to be your friend. I am.
That's awesome.
I'm 52 years old and I don't care that you know that. I don't color my hair. I am going very gray. That is perfectly happiness to me. I like dressing up. I have brown hair. I have kind of muddy blue eyes and, I love life. I have five kids. They are all over the place. My daughter is in Puerto Rico. I have a son in New York City. I have a son in South Dakota. I have a son in Arizona. Right now, my husband and I live in Utah near Salt Lake City with our youngest son, who's 15.
That's awesome. I love that picture. I can just picture you, Kristen, and you're not really that great. So you actually are doing very well.
Thank you.
So Kristen has a lot of experience being a mom and now a grandma, and she and I have known each other for a long time. And I am excited to have her share with us some of the things that she's learned, in particular, using music to help teach our toddlers the gospel. So today, I think that there's a lot of our young moms who have this desire to start teaching their children just as soon as they can, and even while they're quite young. And yet they're struggling a little bit because they don't know how. How do I teach this young child who has a short attention span and who doesn't really understand language very well or abstract ideas? And I often get the question, you know, what can I do to begin teaching my toddler? Are they too young to begin teaching them? And I hate to tell them, yes, they're too young. That's, to me, that just is counterintuitive. No, you're never too young to start learning the gospel. And so we want to talk a little bit today about a really effective way to teach the gospel to our young children, and that is through music. And Kristen's here to share a little bit about what she knows about music and why it's an effective tool and how we can use it to try to teach our children. So, Kristen, tell us a little bit about how you got started in teaching music and a little bit about your background.
Okay. I grew up in a musical family, not because we are talented.
They kind of are, but no. But they're not the Van Trapp family singers. So.
No, people would try to compare us to that, but it is not a good comparison. My mother practiced faithfully throughout her childhood on the piano. So she knew how to play the piano when she started her family. My father enjoyed singing, and maybe you could say he does have some natural talent. He has a beautiful tenor voice. Mm-hmm. So when you combine that, they taught us a lot of songs as we would do chores and stuff like that. Songs like I've Been Working on the Railroad and Doe a Deer, a Female Deer. And they started a tradition when I was probably six or so that we would all dress up like angels and put on a Christmas program. Well, that got us singing more and more, and we ended up, to make a long story short, singing in talent shows, church, stake events, and things.
Kristen, you are the oldest of 12 kids?
11.
11 kids. So that's a big, that's a choir in and of itself. So.
Yes, we are a loud, disruptive, noisy choir. And, but it's brought so much joy into our lives. I married a man who his instrument is the radio. And when we say, when we compare him to a musician, he says, well, there has to be a consumer. And that's absolutely what Duncan is. But he was supportive in us teaching our children music. So all my kids play the piano and a stringed instrument. They've all been in musical theater and in choirs. And when I was expecting my third, then I wanted some quality general music education for my little people. And a generous woman in our ward who knew me very well and knew my desire and knew, of course, that we couldn't afford it, for me to be trained, that is, paid for my tuition to be trained as an early childhood general music teacher. Mm. It was one of the sweetest gifts of my life. And, you know, aside from the obvious ones, the atonement and life itself and my mom and dad and all that jazz. But I am so grateful after that training. And interestingly enough, my son, who I was pregnant with throughout the training, is my most musical child. So you mention, is it ever too young to start learning music? My son, Clark, he learned and became who he is in utero. I truly believe that it made a difference in his life. Mm. But anyway, I started teaching group mommy and baby and toddler and preschool classes in my home and sometimes in rented spaces. So I've done it a lot.
So that's great. So you understand really well then about this early childhood development and how these little people learn and grow and the effect that music has on them. So share a little bit with us about the benefits of music on our little people and why it's such an effective teaching tool for toddlers.
You bet. When a brain is being developed, we know that there are two hemispheres, the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere of the brain. And those two hemispheres need to communicate with each other. And those synapses are strengthened by certain activities. We know connect the right and left hemisphere better than other activities. One of those activities is mathematics. Mm-hmm. Another one is music. That is why Mozart is known to help people become smarter, because Mozart's music is very mathematical, so it's the best of both worlds. Mm. So I say that one of the primary reasons why music helps a child is because it helps them get smarter. Quite literally, their brain connects, makes more connections. And those connections are strengthened through music. Another thing is that music encourages, or it promotes movement. We know when we hear music, we want to dance. We want to keep a rhythm. We want to even at least tap our toes. And so movement develops our coordination, our physical development in ways that make us a healthier person and a happier person. also music is engaging. It brings us closer to the people that we're around when we're engaging with music, and it also makes us more alert. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think that reading skills are strengthened, literary skills are strengthened, because consider just the little vocal play, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba. We talk to our babies like that. It's interesting, in Denmark, I have a friend who's from Denmark, and their baby talk in Denmark is goidly, goidly, goidly.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And I've said that to all of my babies. It's almost music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you do ba, 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 and then you pause and you let them answer you, even if it's a, ah, then there's so many wonderful things that you can do to encourage that vocalization, mostly by copying them. Then after they respond to you, respond back to them. And that's the beginning of a conversation, but it's all brought through music.
I love that. You know, my degree is in speech and language pathology and language development. I mean, you are talking specifically about language development and the cognitive side of that. And they call that actually mother ease, as we change our the way that we're talking to our children to make it easy for them. And like you say, you kind of copy them, or you kind of give them something to copy from you. And, that conversation building, that turn taking is an important part of language development. And so, you're right. I mean, music is a great, great way to help that, development in our children. I love that. I also really like the point that you made about, well, it just kind of helps make those connections, but also engages our body. And one of the things that we know about toddlers is that they are very active. They are using their bodies all the time and in a lot of different ways. And as we use music, it's a great way to engage their mind and their body at the same time. And so it actually is a very effective teaching tool, because they can be active while we're trying to help them learn something mentally as well. So I really liked both of those ideas that you shared. So tell us then how, you know, I really like these ideas. So how can we use that? How can we use that in our teaching with our children? I mean, it makes sense to me what you say, but now tell me how we can incorporate that.
Okay, well, I know that you talk about teaching our children the gospel, and when you engage with your children in music to teach them the gospel specifically, they are going to remember the gospel or the principle better because it's been put to music. Think about the Book of Mormon books in order. When that's put to music, it's easier to remember all the books in the Book of Mormon or all the mm-hmm. books in the Bible. My sister Anna Jo, she has a preschool in her home, and now she's put it online, and it's a wonderful resource for any parents who want a remote preschool experience for their children. But she teaches her kids, her students, so many things through music. The planets, the presidents of the United States. I mean, how many of us learned the 50 nifty United States to music? And so you can learn so much just rote memory, but also, of course, gospel principles. And the spirit seeps into your soul as you sing about Jesus is my friend, or prayer brings me, you know, Heavenly Father's listening to my prayer. And we know songs that are like that. They're taught to us in primary.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like, and I don't, this is doctrine by Leslie. This is nothing that I know that it's been spoken anywhere else, but I almost feel like music is the language of our spirits, that they just connect somehow through music with, like you had said earlier, with each other, or with our Heavenly Father, those principles, when they are taught through music, just seem to ring true. And it just touches our heart in a way that other things can't. I mean, everybody loves the primary program sacrament meeting, right? Yeah. I mean, it just touches our heart in a way that words alone can't. And I don't understand exactly why that is. Maybe you can enlighten me, but I have seen it. Let me just share an example. I have my granddaughter, when she was two, she loves music. She just goes around singing and humming all the time. I mean, that's just her mode of communication. But one day they were here at our home, and my older daughter was strumming on the guitar, "I am a child of God." And she just picked that up and she started singing. And there was, I mean, to see my little, she was just two at the time, and she was singing this song about being a child of God that was just the most beautiful thing that I had ever heard. And I know that she didn't understand every word that she was singing, but someday she will understand every word that she is singing. And the fact that as a two-year-old, she is having that spiritual connection, I believe, that she is a child of God. I just have to think that that is strengthening her spirit and her, you know, preparing her as she continues to get older. And again, I don't know why that is, but I just feel like that is maybe a language of the spirit.
I totally agree with you, Leslie. Think about the many things that could have happened when Jesus Christ himself was born. There could have been fireworks, or there could have been, you know, confetti falling from the sky. But no, Heavenly Father had angels singing. Mm. That is the most effective way that we can praise. Besides kneeling and praying, we praise through music. And it is because it is a language of heaven. I think that we learn about that in Doctrine and Covenants. This is section 15, when Jesus Christ himself talks to Emma about collecting the hymns, and that they are a prayer of the heart. So when we sing sacred music, inspired music, we are brought closer to God.
I love that. I think that's absolutely true, and I've seen that. So how can what can we tell our listeners about how they can incorporate music in teaching? As they're trying to think of teaching their children their gospel, or teaching them about the world around them, you know, little kids, even just teaching them about their bodies. As you look at the nursery manuals, those are some of the first things that they are taught in a church setting, is about the world around them and how God created things, that God created the animals and the plants and their bodies. And so, you know, as we're trying to teach our children, how can we do that?
That is a great question. One thing that comes to my mind is you need to be prepared. Mm-hmm. It takes some work on the mom's part to memorize the song first, or at least to put the lyrics on the wall. I have many times held lyrics in my hand as I'm pushing a stroller on a walk, because I want to remember this new song, and I know that my baby or my children will enjoy it as we're walking along. So I'll hold the lyrics in my hand. I'm not a very good memorizer. I am not good at lyrics. My husband, my sisters, my children are much better at lyrics than I am. So having those little cues around the house really helps me. And that takes preparation. Mm-hmm. Another thing is just to do it. Don't worry about what your voice sounds like. Sing. Repetition is really important when you're teaching children music and when you're teaching children concepts. Sing in the car, sing on your walks, sing when you're cuddling, sing when you're playing, sing when you're putting them down to sleep, sing any time you're with your children. I remember in the many road trips, us singing when the kids are really worn out and tired, and, you know, you've heard so many times, "Are we there yet?" to just start singing, and everyone will, well, most people, most of the kids will join in, and it helps the trip go so much better. So I guess that what I'm trying to say is just do it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Well, I was just gonna say, I do not have a musical voice at all, but I found particularly little kids, they don't care. They aren't judging you on if you got that note right or if you forgot a word. I mean, they really are so forgiving and they really don't care. And, I loved your point actually about, just singing all the time and whatever you're doing. So again, if I refer back to my, language development with small kids, they talked about how important it was for mothers as they're interacting with their kids to be talking to them all the time. And talking is, in my opinion, harder than singing. I don't know. I'd rather sing something than try to just think of something to say. Mm-hmm. But I found, like, even when I'm giving my kids a bath, this is the way we wash our feet, wash our feet, wash our feet. You know, it's that little tune that you do over and over, but you are, you know, repeating the same thing over and over. And so they're like, and you're touching their feet and they're like, oh, you know, they start to make that connection. And so anytime that we can include that in our daily activities, in our, you know, if there's a gospel principle that we're teaching, to add a song to it, just is that extra, repetition that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And songs make it so easy to repeat the same thing over and over again, because most of the time kids like to sing a song more than once.
Absolutely. The song that I love singing to my kids in the tub is very similar. The elbow bone's connected to the... arm bone, the arm bone's connected to the finger bone, da 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 da, and I just make it up after that. Right? I don't know the rest of the lyrics. But when you're singing with your children, it just livens up every moment. It enriches your life. I remember driving down the street, and this is my youngest son. So all my kids are in school, elementary and middle school, except for my baby. I have a little bit of a gap between my baby and the rest of my kids. And so he is in his car seat, in the back seat, safely tucked in, you know, with his buckles and everything. But I know that it is about time for him to fall asleep, and I want to be home before he falls asleep. So I'm trying to keep him awake, and I have run out of things to say. You know, you're already said, oh, look at all the birds. Oh, look at, did you see that red car? Oh, da-da-da-da. You know, you're doing all these things and you're just totally out. Your brain is fried. And so you just start singing, and, it has been such a fun thing to be able to do that with my kids, and I know that you do it naturally. One little tidbit of advice I would say is that you can teach more than just concepts in the gospel with music. You can teach your child that they matter.
So talk about that a little bit.
Something that I feel kind of strongly about is that we all have boundaries, right? We're trying to teach our kids right from wrong. We're trying to teach them, you know, don't climb on the table or whatever your rules are at home. Mm-hmm. But in the context of music, you can let them make a lot of choices that they maybe don't feel like they can make as many choices in other places in their life. And so letting them choose what song you sing is an opportunity for you to say yes. Letting them say some nonsense words in there instead of the right words, laugh about it and have fun and copy them. When you let them take the lead, it builds their self-confidence. So if a child wants to, let's say you're doing a clapping song, but they don't want to clap, they want to stomp, then start stomping. You don't have to say, no, this is how you clap. No, we're clapping. Next time we'll stomp. Who cares? Start stomping.
Mm-hmm.
It lets them be the leader in so many ways. And I think that is just one way that we help our children feel good about themselves. But there are so many songs about love. There are so many songs about I love you. You can picture yourself laying on the floor with your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old, right? And you put them on your legs. Have you ever done that and kind of done the horsey ride?
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. They're resting on your foot, on your feet, and their faces are kind of resting on your knees, and they're facing you face to face. And to have a song to sing to them about how much you love them while you're giving them that steady beat is such a natural thing to me. Of course, there's ones about horsies. Giddy up, horsey, go, 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 giddy up. And that's not a song, it's a rhyme, but you're saying it with enthusiasm. And one day I was doing this with my daughter, who's my oldest, and I just started singing a love song to her. And I thought, wow, this is coming out of my brain. I've never heard this before, but it is a love song to Kay. And I repeated it over and over again to myself so I wouldn't forget. And it goes like this. I love you truly, truly I do. I love you truly. And I just kept repeating it over and over and over again, the same exact notes. That has become one of the choicest songs for all of my children.
I love that. And I, you know what? I love the thought that, because what actually could we be teaching our toddlers that's more important than they are loved? That they are loved and that they are appreciated. And so much of our interaction with them is us telling them what to do. And so to give them an opportunity to be in charge, like you say, and to make those choices. I love that. That is teaching them that you trust them, that you are interested in them because you want to do what they want to do. And I love that your idea of taking advantage and taking that time to teach them that you love them. And it does, you can just make it up. That is what's so fun, is that you can just make it up. And even if you don't feel like you have a wonderful voice, that's not what your child remembers. Your child remembers the love they feel when you do that.
Absolutely. And your voice is heaven to them. They would not want to hear anyone's voice as much as yours. And another thing that is just gold is their child's name. So if you can work their name into a song, it's so helpful. There's this silly song that my kids heard lots and lots, and that's, hey, lolly, 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 hey, lolly, lolly, oh. But then you put in their name, hey, Katie, 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 hey, Katie, Katie, oh. And you can be clapping. This is a great time for them to choose what you're going to do. Tap your head. What can we tap next? Hey, Marcus, Marcus, Marcus. And you're tapping your shoulders. You're tapping your knees. You're rubbing your tummy while you're just saying their name over and over and over again.
I can just see them loving that. That's a good point, because you're right. I mean, that, again, teaching them how important they are and that they are important to you. And I love it. What other tips do you have for us moms or grandmas? So grandmas sometimes have more time to play with their grandkids than moms do. So that's not necessarily just for moms.
Yeah, that's true. Well, in addition to teaching them that they're important, I think that it's also an opportunity for us to teach them that there are rules that we keep in a fun context. So with music, the way that I do this, one of the ways I do this is by introducing instruments. And instruments can be spoons. They can be toilet paper rolls filled with beans and taped on both sides for a shaker. And when you have these simple instruments, then you start teaching them rules about these instruments. One of the simple rules is that all instruments need to rest. And that is like us. We need to rest. And so you can imagine a toddler sitting across from you, and you've just made this instrument, and you explain to them, this is not a toy. This is an instrument, and we take very good care of it. And all instruments need to rest. Let me show you what I mean. And then you shake it like crazy. Hopefully they have one. Let's make music. You're making music. And then rest position. And you let that instrument rest on the floor. So you can see how you're teaching them life skills in a fun context. Another thing is to not throw this instrument, to not put this instrument in your mouth. And as you teach them these these rules of how we treat instruments, then you're allowing them to have success in a very fun environment, one that is full of joy, so that when you're asking them, nope, you can't get down until you're done with your vegetables, they have felt understood because you engaged with them. They feel that there are rules and we follow them. And so you've given them a chance to practice rules in a different place, but that will apply to advice that you have for them later.
So that's an interesting concept that I hadn't thought about before, Kristen. So I know that this is something that a lot of moms struggle with, is and that 2-3-year-old stage is where our children are learning to express their independence, and they can be a handful. I mean, everybody knows the terrible twos or the tantrums, you know, that 2-year-olds throw. And so what you're saying is that we can help teach them some of these, to understand some of these concepts through music.
Yes. And I would encourage you to be sure to keep your word. So if you say, we don't throw these instruments, then when someone, which a 2-year-old will, throws this little shaker that you've just made, then put it away. Say, oh, we don't throw this instrument, and put it away. Don't give them a second chance. Mm-hmm. Okay, that might sound kind of hard, but you're doing it in such a loving way. And you're saying, oh, too bad. I was looking forward to playing with that some more, but we'll play with it later. And just make sure that they understand that there's a natural consequence to that choice. Another thing that I do with instruments, quote unquote instruments, right, mm-hmm. is that we keep them in a separate place than toys. So have a separate little box or a separate drawer or a separate bin for instruments so that you can help them understand that you're serious.
I like that. Yeah, to make it that these are special, these aren't something that we and we treat these things differently than we do others, and there's rules that are around these kind of things.
Yeah, and in doing that, then you are building a relationship of respect between your child and yourself, because you keep your word in a simple little itty-bitty way that a toddler can understand. Now, there are some toddlers who will never get it because they're so their personality is just, maybe we would call it stubborn, but they want to have their way. And so you have to decide what's right for that personality. Mm-hmm. They're not doing that because you're not being a good mom. And they're not doing that because they're not a good child. They're doing that because that's who they're going to be when they're 23, 24. And it is going to be to their benefit. There are blessings to every weakness, right? Our weaknesses mm-hmm. become strengths. So that is a part of them that they were born with. So there's no reason to fight it. Maybe they're just not going to be the easiest toddler in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that we need to keep our word. So if you can't keep your word in a certain realm with a certain personality, then maybe that activity or that rule should not be verbalized at all, because then you won't be building that relationship of trust. Another thing that really means a lot to toddlers is communication. That's one of the reasons why they throw tantrums, is because they don't know how to communicate what they want.
Mm.
And so when you give them an opportunity to communicate to you and they feel listened and understood and respected, then they're not going to get frustrated as much. And music is a beautiful way to listen and to communicate, understand each other. I love an activity where you're facing your child and you're rolling a ball back and forth. They have your 100 undivided attention, and you're singing a song. I roll the ball to you. You roll the ball to me. I roll the ball to you. Back and forth, back and forth. And you are exchanging in a way that you can't in words.
Right, because the toddler doesn't have words necessarily to be able to do that. So what we're doing is taking that concept and making it a physical concept that they can come to understand what that means, and eventually they will come to understand that happens as you verbalize or as you play with somebody else. And so you are teaching them that concept in a physical way. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I have been married for 28 years, and I love him dearly. But sometimes we run out of things to talk about, which is hard to believe because we can talk for hours and hours and hours about everything under the sun. We don't have that advantage with our toddlers.
Right.
We want to feel close to them, but we can't talk to them about politics. We can't talk to them about, our new calling. We can't talk to them about the frustrations of staying on the budget. But we can have exchanges with them through music. And so that is your conversation. And as you have that conversation, then you are endearing yourself to each other and they are feeling listened to. Think about clapping my hands is fun to do, fun to do, fun to do. Clapping my hands is fun to do. Tra-la-la-la-la-la, okay? Then they choose the next thing. And you can have a conversation through that song back and forth for 15 minutes and have so much fun. It was meaningful exchange that will allow them to not be as frustrated later, in my opinion.
I really like that. That's an important idea. So talk to me a little bit about... moms are busy. Moms with multiple kids are particularly busy. How can we take time to incorporate some of these, what I would call almost foundational building blocks? Because like what you're talking about is these kind of things are going to help them later. And so they're important, but they're not urgent, right? It's easy to put these kind of things off because you've got those dishes that need to be done or that phone call that needs to be made or the laundry that needs to be sorted. So how can our busy moms take some of these concepts and make time for them and maybe incorporate them a little bit more to what they're doing?
Just sing throughout your normal routine. I think that is so true. Moms are busy. And so when you're doing chores, let's say you're washing dishes with your little one, then sing a song while you're scrubbing. You're in the garden or you're mowing the grass and you one of the funniest pictures that one of my neighbors took of me once was me mowing with a 2-year-old in a backpack on my back. We multitask constantly. And I think singing is a great way to multitask because you can be cooking, you can be going to the grocery store, you can be mowing the lawn and still having beautiful exchanges with your kids through music.
So I love that idea. And then making up things about what you're doing in the moment is a great way to do that. So it's just kind of you don't necessarily have to set aside 20 minutes to do this, or you could, but you can also just incorporate it into what you're already doing and make it work with the day that you have. Okay, Kristen, what if some of our listeners are interested in learning a little bit more about what you know and what you – I know you've got some things that you actually offer for moms. Can you just take a quick second and tell us where they might be able to find that and what that might entail?
Sure. I think one of the benefits of what I can offer you is – songs to sing because we run out of songs to sing and we just need to learn more songs. And so you'll find those songs on my YouTube video or my YouTube channel, which is Music and Me with Kristen Schaefer. There's going to be a link, I think, added to this podcast information for that, but you can also just search it on YouTube. You can also search in a normal browser, lifeofarealmom.com. And that is my website. And I have lots of songs and other experiences that I share with parents who want to learn more at lifeofarealmom.com. Also, I have courses available online. Some of them are free and some of them cost money. They are at teachable.com. And there'll be some links for those as well. There's a free live baby music class that I offer every Thursday on Zoom. And I'd love to have you there as well.
That's awesome. I think that there's a lot that we can do with music, and music is a, it really is a wonderful teaching tool, and not just teaching the gospel, but teaching our children, like you say, about rules and turn-taking and communication. And I think that as we think about what can we teach our toddlers, there is a lot that we can teach them. We just need to do it in a way that they understand. And a lot of that can be done through music. So Kristen, as we wrap this up, what is one or two of the takeaways that you want our parents to remember about using music to teach their children?
I think, first of all, just do it. Don't worry about what your voice sounds like. When we compare ourselves to others, it's actually a form of pride. And we are trying to shed ourselves of pride, right? And the natural man, of course, it's not our fault necessarily, but the natural man wants us to compare ourselves to others, but don't. That's not what Heavenly Father wants you to do. One of the instincts that a mother has with a baby is to sing to it. And it is because within us, we want to connect soul to soul. And so some of the most basic songs that you know, just sing them over and over and over again. If that's all you know, then do it. Just keep singing. It will bless you and your children's life so much. I think that we can talk less and sing more. we talk so much. And when a child says something or gives you an idea, you don't have to repeat it. Just let them be the one who said it and not you say it also. And I sing higher, sing at a higher tone, because children's voices are higher, and it'll be easier for them to hear your tone and mimic it if you're singing higher, even if you don't have a high voice. A lot of people say, "Why do you sing so high, Kristen?" And I'm like, "Well, that's because that's how children hear. They hear high tones easier, and they're going to be able to repeat you easier if it's high. So when you sing even Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, sing a little bit higher than you feel comfortable singing it, and your child will have an easier way of learning it and repeating. Also sing shorter songs for their attention span. But I think that, I guess just do it. That's the bottom line.
I love that. Just do it. Just shed those inhibitions and just do it, because it can bless you and it can bless the lives of your children. Kristen, thank you so much. This has been really enlightening. I appreciate you taking time to share some of these things with us. We will have some of those links that Kristen was referring to in our notes section of our podcast, so you can go there to find that. And remember that your teaching matters. See you all next time. Bye-bye.